Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going this week?
Not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. Getting ready for another quick trip. We're heading down to Miami for the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Championship. And so that'll be a fun, quick little trip. And then I was about to say, I think it slipped out earlier. It was like, oh, back to the Northeast winter. But yeah, it's like mid-50s and sunny up in Maine. So I don't know. I almost don't really want to leave. This is like golf weather.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. I mean, yes, for those of you who missed last episode, we're in Barrington, Rhode Island, so just outside Providence. And yeah, it's like 60 degrees right now. Yeah, it's amazing. It's much nicer here than it was in France. So, I mean, that'll change, I'm sure. But yeah, even ever since we've been here, I think we had like a half day of rain and it's been beautiful all week. So yeah, fingers crossed.
How's everything going, getting adjusted?
Yeah, man, it's good overall. Like the only hiccup was our connection. We flew from Geneva to Amsterdam and then Amsterdam to Boston. That flight was delayed 3 hours because of a mechanical issue on the plane. And it was looking for a while like, we're not going to get this fixed. It'll have to be tomorrow. And the flight tomorrow is all full, blah, blah. And I was like, we're closing on the house tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Like, we have to be there. And we've done, I mean, a month of work before this to get like, okay, we're in the house this morning. And then we're going to get the car from CarMax this afternoon. And then we're going to, you know, get the furniture from this guy on Craigslist that we lined up. And we're going to do this and this and this. So we have like the first 3 days planned out like to the hour. And that happening, like, I was so in shock that I didn't lose my shit, but like I was losing my shit. And then they just come on the PA and they're like, okay, we got the brakes fixed. Everybody get on the plane. And you're like, oh my God, thank you. So, I mean, just a very slight change in plan. So, but yeah, man, we closed on the house. I'm in a new house. Everyone can't see, but in a new house that has an office, which is amazing. The house was built in 1935. So it is, it's our third child now, officially. It's just like all this stuff that's just like, it's a really cool house, but there's a lot of stuff that you're just like, what the hell is this? I can't believe they would do that. Yeah, but I mean, just stuff like it has a phone nook, you know, from when there was just one phone in the house and it was like hardwired. But just a lot of that kind of stuff that's super cool. Like, I've never lived in an old house, so
it's got character.
Exactly, it's character.
When you buy like a house that's kind of weird from the 80s or 90s, it's just weird. It's not old enough to have character, I think.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've crossed that threshold.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, hey, congrats, man. I mean, that's a big move. I'm sure there's been a lot of stress and there's more to come, but you're taking pretty much the rest of the year off from work, right?
I am. Yeah. So we're recording this on the 17th, working Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then taking the 23rd to the first off. Yeah. And it'll be the first time I've taken a week off in a embarrassingly long amount of time. Yeah, I really need it. Really looking forward to it. I'm sure I'll do some kind of offline work of thinking and prioritizing and stuff. And it's just a really good time to take that time off because like the only downside is like if there are deals that are going to happen from a sales perspective in that time, I'm not around to help with them. But that's really unlikely. Like no businesses want to make big decisions and purchases the last week of the year. But the rest of it is just good because like we're talking about OKRs and stuff every episode, I think. But like we're expanding OKR use and stuff like that to kind of the whole company and each group. And so we're doing a lot of planning now and we'll be rolling those out like in the first year. So like, it's just a really good time to take time off for me to be able to think strategically and like start planning new initiatives that will start in January. So like, there's going to be downtime anyhow, just take it off and really be ready to rock in January.
You're serious about the time off. Cause I know you gave a list of here are the times to contact Craig. And one of those there's a big deal in the pipeline that needs me to close it.
That was like big time, like downtime, a big deal, you know, or a big partnership. So those are the three. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have a couple of big deals, but that are kind of in the hopper, but you know, the guys are fully capable of closing them, I think. And two, you know, the chance of them coming in this month are not great. So I wouldn't want to make a big decision right now just because there's so much other stuff going on in our worlds.
No, for sure. I think everyone's, I mean, this time of year in general, that's sort of the mentality. And obviously with this year, it's definitely one where I think people are just ready to disconnect for a bit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So yeah, one of the things I thought would be interesting to talk about is like evaluating strategy, like growth strategies. We're evaluating a handful of different opportunities right now. And maybe just to kind of like abstract away like the ideas and the concepts that I'm going through. You and I talked for about 45 minutes last week before we recorded about like where opportunities lie. And I thought it might be interesting to like talk through that just from a like conceptual level. So folks might be able to like draw some of those things away too.
Yeah. So I guess what are the calculations you're going through mentally? Like what are you considering and how are you weighing it all?
Yeah, totally. So like I think in general, like the marketing universe is like, I think at the beginning, it's super daunting, even for me, like, oh, fucking, we need to do more marketing. You know, we need more growth. We need more customers and stuff like that. And if you say that, like it's, you're just setting yourself up for failure. When you start to be more, when I start to be more specific about like, where in the funnel do we need more, you know, like, do we need more website visitors? Do we need more people to start trials? Do we need more people to convert to paying customers? That becomes even easier to like make up a quantitative decision. And then within that, you know, where do those new website visitors come from? Where do those new trial starts come from? And you know, what places in the onboarding process can we convert more trials to paid customers? And so, to be honest, like talk to a bunch of really smart people in the last couple of weeks about a lot of those different aspects and touch points. And it was really eye-opening that like, this always sounds so stupid. Like, it's really interesting that there are people that only specialize in one of those. That's just how it is. And I think it's why marketing, and I'm air quoting, for especially for like technical founders is so daunting, because like you do need to consider all of these like 25 things, you know, even if you take like channel out of it, you know, but just like, we need more customers. Where do you need customers from? And how are you going to get there? How are you going to, you know, convert and all that stuff? So this is a bit ranty, but what we've done is kind of said like, we want more customers. And we've kind of said like, where is it like new website visitors, new trials, or increasing trial to paid conversion ratio? And I think at this point we've settled on increasing trial to paid conversion ratio as the not easiest win, but best win. Because if we can do that, I think it makes the other more higher in the funnel, like demand efforts that we'll do later on, just more valuable, right? So just for instance, say we convert at 10% trial to paid conversion, that's like decent, right? If we can make that say 20, just for easy numbers, then like when we run more paid ads to the site, or we do this new kind of content play or something like that, or we optimize CTAs on the site, you get more trials from the blog or something, then all of that just is more effective to the top line.
No, I mean, I guess to back up a little bit, it would be, my first question would just be, what made you settle on we need more customers versus let's find a way to get more from our customers, or let's find a way to get our customers to stay, whether that's from getting them to stay longer or getting them to spend more?
Excellent question. And you know, as an aside, one of the most interesting parts of this exercise, and this has been going on for like 6 weeks probably for me, it is like being really honest with myself and not having like self-limiting beliefs when it comes to really having a clear lens of like our marketing funnel in the business. I say that because when you say getting more money from your customers, I instantly say, we can't. You know, like they're podcasters. This is a hobby for a lot of people. Nobody wants to pay us more money. We did introduce like download limits on all of our tiers at the end of September when we rolled out our new website. And they're really super generous, but it does allow for expansion revenue for kind of conventional podcasters. Like we've had expansion revenue for private podcasting for a long time based on private subscribers. And we're just rolling that pricing update to existing customers now, which is entering. So there's, you know, some customers who their bill will be more next month. And that's been received pretty well. I think if you look at that, like one of the criteria for which of these channels we pursue is like how much room to grow is there, you know? Because like the last thing we want to do is optimize this thing that only has the chance to, you know, increase revenue by, you know, 0.5%, you know, But if we can do this other thing, it could double our revenue, you know, double our, you know, monthly growth revenue. And I feel like increasing prices is not one of those that would have a lot of upside potential, because I think we're priced pretty high in the market already, or like appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I mean, there's two, the one is, one point is that it could be done without changing the pricing, but instead changing what's gated, so more people graduate to a higher tier, even if the prices stay the same. And I know you've experimented with that, or are experimenting with that. But another would just be finding ways to sell other services that you guys offer to them. And because I guess this is me playing devil's advocate, because I know we've talked a lot about this. I know you've talked to a lot of people. And it's like, you have a good point, where if we increase the number of trial signups that become paid customers, then everything that happens before that point becomes more effective overnight, or not overnight, but as soon as that change goes into effect. But like, if you increase the lifetime value of a customer, everything that happens before that point becomes more effective as well. And like, you could have a low trial conversion rate, but if once they do convert, they spend a ton of money, that's not a big deal. Just like you could have a high trial conversion rate, but if no one coming in actually signs up for the trial, that's no good either. And so it's just like, this is bias of mine. I don't fully know why I do it, but I think a lot of it is, I hate analytics and like digging into it at that level. I just think it's overkill for where most of our businesses are. I think, I'm sure there are things I could learn from having a better handle on like all of my funnel metrics, but I just feel like in many cases, there are as long as you have a steady stream of trials coming in, there's a lot of levers you can pull on those people that are already in there. And I think, yeah, like working in the trial fits within that bucket in my head, but it's like finding ways to automatically qualify people who are getting a lot of downloads, and maybe they miss a week of uploading or whatever it is. And you reach out to see if, hey, I know podcasting is tough. I actually have a couple of my own. One of the ways that makes it easier is our podcasting services, our done for you editing, all that stuff. Would you want to try that out for next week's episode so you don't miss one again? Something like that. And then it's like figuring out other things to just kind of have automated upsells in there. But like, this is just me thinking. I'm just curious, like in your head, does it feel like once they become a customer, that part of the funnel is pretty good? Or
you mean like retention?
We don't need to like share all of your numbers publicly, but like, we have talked about these numbers private, and like, I feel like your churn's very good. I think you always want to be lower, as any SaaS founder does, but like, it's very good. That one to me is just like clearly like, okay, like that's not a low hanging fruit at all. But I guess just upsells, you have these other services, you have salespeople. Do you feel as though like they're fully utilized in selling to the people who are most likely to buy, which is the people who have already bought from you?
Yeah, that's super interesting. So no is the answer. And that's something that Sam is definitely working on, right? He's working on ways to put like our Castos Productions offer in front of more people. We honestly, like, we've made it really easy to self-serve sign up into it just in the last week or so. It used to be kind of self-serve and kind of not. Now it's totally like, sign up, send us the stuff, we send it back. It's all super automated, which is like really nice, and probably the reason we haven't stepped on that more. But the other reason we haven't done more of this, and this is embarrassing, is like, we don't have a lot of product usage metrics. And not to get too metric-y about this, but like, to send that email smartly to the right person, like, you need to know that they missed that week, you know? And we don't, you know? And so like, we use Amplitude for like product metrics. And it's not super hard to add those new triggers, but like, we're going to be, you know, we have a dozen or so kind of triggers in there right now, and we're going to be adding a lot more and tying that to drip, and all of that kind of just will work automatically. But like, yeah, I mean, it's a really good point. Like, we talked about in like a meeting last week that like, we don't have any way of identifying someone as a product qualified lead right now. Which is embarrassing, but like, it's embarrassing on one hand and like a huge opportunity on another, that like, we have, the sales guys have like really good deal flow these days, And we're about to unlock this other massive one that, like, when someone makes their podcast private, they should get a phone call from the sales rep and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, we're expanding our knowledge, you know, and our kind of visibility into what customers are doing in like a healthy way, I think, in that respect. So like after someone becomes a customer or during the trial, like the amount of information we have about what they're doing and how we can be helpful is increasing. And I think the interesting thing about that, like going to your point of like hating metrics, is like, it will be super easy to screw this up because we just like have paralysis by analysis. And very interesting, like we have people on the team who will tend very much towards that. And we have people on the team who will tend very much towards, I'm not ever going to look at that. I just want this one metric to pipe into drip so we can send this email. And like, I think that is healthy because they'll kind of complement each other. But like, that's a big risk, I think.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like that's where, what I've always seen is working with bigger teams is that, one, just seeing how much work it is to actually set up proper tracking of everything in air quotes, like of all the important actions in the app. And I frankly haven't really seen, and these are like, I'm not working in big companies. These are companies that are doing millions a year, but not tens of millions a year. But like, I haven't seen a company like really taking advantage of that much of it. And in my head, it's a big thing that like it's a super old concept. It comes from like the catalog marketing world. And I know Drew Sinaki talks a lot about this. And then Jim Novo are two people that people can kind of Google about, but it's just like recency and frequency. It doesn't matter how much machine learning, how much data, whatever you're doing, the vast, vast majority of the predictive value is going to come back to who most recently used your product and who most frequently uses your product. And then there's monetary as well, like who spends the most. The people who do those things are the ones who are likely to continue doing those things or to do more of that. And so like you can just get, it's not even 80-20, but just like even more of a powerful relationship with that by just like looking at a couple uses metrics and just saying like, that's it. Like, yes, are we getting the full picture? No, but like we're getting enough of one. And so for us, it's like we look at during the trial and it's like, I don't actually know how I could look at this in like a dashboard view, but in drip, we do pull in how many lineups has someone built during their trial in the last day, last 7 days, last month. I don't know what the average is, but I can just say if they've done more than this, send them an annual offer. If they've done less than this, send them in, like stop sending them more educational information and just get them in contact with someone from support who can, we can like figure out what's happening.
Absolutely.
And like, I think there's balances there where it's figuring out what matters most and acting on it. But in your shoes, you have Sam and you have your sales team, like they can keep moving forward in that direction without it needing to be you that's doing that. So I think that's a benefit that you have that makes focusing a little bit earlier in the funnel worthwhile because they can keep doing that work. Like they can still focus there.
Yep. So two things. One, I think it's really important to highlight like the both sides of that activation, right? It's the send the annual trial to people who are highly engaged, totally agree, and kind of upsell them into, you know, higher priced packages and stuff. And for the people who are not engaged, yeah, stop sending them the regular cookie cutter stuff and just get them in touch with a person and get them on a call, like a one-on-one call to try to get them activated. And that's what we do right now to an extent, but only like one episode, you know, not like, not any kind of over the course of the first month or something like that, which is like, those are the metrics we have planned. So
yeah, for us, we need to do more of it once they become a customer. But also the trap I fall into a lot is focusing too much on the negative side of that coin, where it's like saying, okay, like the people who aren't doing these things, let's do whatever we can to save them. And it's where I think a lot of the gains that you see in CRO don't translate to revenue, because it's like, how many billion-dollar companies are built with websites where it takes you like 15 minutes to figure out even how to sign up, how to get a quote, how to do whatever else. And people still do it because they have a burning pain and these people solve it. And like, if you have a real pain point, you will deal with a lot of friction to get it solved. And so by removing friction, yes, you're going to get more customers, but you're getting people who are more at the margins. And if you have to kind of convince, if you have to remove all friction, just make a funnel, a slide, just to shoot them right down into your product. I mean, it's if they're just being dragged along, it's not as likely that they're going to stick. And it's instead finding ways to say, okay, these people, even with all of the warts that we have, these people are using our product every day. They're using it a ton. They're using it in ways we weren't expecting them to. How do I get more value into their hands? And for us, that is something that we'll talk more about it in next year or early next year, like January, literally, of ways that we're going to be experimenting with that. But I feel like where you're in a great position is that you do already have some built-in upsells. And it's just like focusing, instead of having someone get on a call with someone who hasn't launched a podcast yet, get them on a call with someone who's doing really well and see what else they could do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that talking about like Sam, our head of growth and the sales team, and even like Francois, our head of product, like the cool thing about like where we are is I don't need to do any or all of this, but to say like, hey, this is a thing, right? And this is where I want us to spend our time and our energy is to focus on improving these things. Yeah, because I mean, like we have the data, we have, I think, the right people, we have, you know, the kind of tools in place, and it's just a matter of like prioritizing all these things. And I think that's, you know, maybe that's like the one biggest thing these days is just prioritization. You know, like we're a pretty big team and we have a lot of people power to push around, but like there's only so many hours in a day. And so like it goes all the way back to the beginning of this episode. It's like, if we say more growth, that's not specific enough. And we have to get really specific about like, we're going to do this one thing and focus on it for, you know, a pretty good amount of time to get it really good. And then we'll move on to the next one that we think has the best chance to grow.
Yeah. And I mean, I think talking through this has helped me just get a little bit clearer on the way I do think about it. Because when you do have to make these prioritization choices with limited resources, I think a lot of people jump to the top of the funnel. And if you have no leads coming in, sure, start there. But I think once you have leads coming in with a steady predictability and like it's enough volume to sustain the business and grow the business, but you want to get more out of that, it's like, I be like looking at it from the standpoint of what is the most guaranteed way of growing it is going to be the best. And that sounds obvious, but like the way to do that is just basically the farther down the funnel you go, the more likely it is to make an impact because they're already qualified. And the farther down they are, the more qualified they are. Like if they've been with you for 5 years and they're already on all your services, it's likely you could find something else to sell them, but like it's moving up a little bit. And so you've got a team that can keep moving forward on some of that, but it's like, yeah, I'll be looking the next step before that, which you're pretty much doing by focusing on that trial to paid step. What do next steps look like for you from here?
I don't know, to be honest. This is all happening in a week and a half where, you know, we move across the world and literally we spent like 15 hours working this week. And again, like I think maybe it's when we were talking before, like I'm proud of myself for doing a fair amount of data gathering on this instead of my normal, which is just like, let's just fucking do something and see if it works, but being a lot more disciplined and intentional and analytical maybe, but you know, intentional about what I think we should do and getting some perspectives on it. See, I don't have an answer of like next steps because it's all still coming together. But yeah, it's just been, I mean, and even talking through this has been helpful. Yeah. And I think the next, you know, kind of 2 weeks through the holidays will be good too to really kind of solidify things.
Yeah. And on a lighter note, it was helpful to me because I'm not gonna have any major updates, I think, for the rest of this month, just because I felt so far behind on all the admin stuff. I know it's been like my trend of things, but I just feel like this time of year, I have the permission to just say like, okay, like no new initiatives, like no, there's no expectations of me to do these big things. So like these next few weeks, like I'm just going to get caught up on as much of it as I can. And a lot of it's just going to be like saying no to things and just getting things off my plate and not doing them at all. But I want to just get through this period a lighter load so that I can start tackling some of the big initiatives that we do have without these things just that have been piling up for a year.
And maybe like once that kind of inbox is clean, is the time to look at bringing someone on.
Exactly.
So that you don't get backed up again.
Yeah, to help me just like keep it there. Keep it sane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like right now, that's where I've always just had the issues with delegating is it's like, there's so much in the backlog where it's like, I just got to get to these three things today because they've been waiting for a month. And like, yeah, these other things, like check this out, but I don't have that much time to dig into it. And it's just like, I'm so far behind on things that it's hard to just get the bandwidth to really onboard someone, delegate all that. But it's coming together. It's coming together.
I hear you. Well, this is a bit wandering of an episode, but yeah, hopefully helpful for folks to, you know, hear something we mentioned or kind of talked through and it spurs an idea. Hopefully, you know, as always, y'all have questions or suggestions or ideas for Andy and I, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. We've had, you know, a handful of messages in the last few weeks and they're great. We love them. So thanks so much for sending those in. Andy, I don't know if we'll podcast next week and maybe not the next week. So yeah, folks, if there's a week or so that we're not around, it's because it's the holidays and we're taking the time and yeah, don't have a lot to talk about. So I think we'll be back next week, but maybe not the next week.
Awesome. Well, happy holidays, everyone. Thanks for listening.